Loomis Bank, we understand business because we've grown alongside you in the communities we call home. We're proud to grow in Redding and excited to welcome Anderson and Red Bluff to the Loomis Bank family. With our new locations, your business gains expanded lending powers, more convenient locations, and more than 40 years of trusted community banking experience. Loomis Bank, building stronger communities. Learn more at loomisbank.com.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
From the historic campus of Hillsdale College in Hillsdale, Michigan, where the good, the true, and the beautiful are taught, nurtured, and honored, this is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, bringing the activity and education of the college to listeners across the country.
I do think there's a tendency post 2020, when so many public institutions failed us, there is a tendency to assume that every single person is not telling you the truth, but I can see that it's a very tough job for people to try to figure out what's real and what's not.
This is your host, Scott Bertram. Welcome to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. That was Mary Catherine Hamm, host of the Getting Hammered and Normally podcasts, also a writer at Fox News and OutKick. We'll go in depth with her on a number of subjects in just a moment. Also, later on in today's program, Ben Beyer from Hillsdale's Education Department will discuss the new online course, Classical Logic and Rhetoric. First, we're joined by Mary Catherine Hamm. She's the host of a couple of podcasts, Getting Hammered, and Normally. You can find her writing in places like FoxNews.com, OutKick, and elsewhere, also on X at MK Hammer. And she is our Pulliam Fellow this term here at Hillsdale College, giving a public lecture here and teaching some of our journalism students. Mary Catherine, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Good to have a discussion. You've been doing lots of things in media for lots of years, starting in blogging, television, writing, podcasting. Does it feel the same? Does it feel like things have shifted substantially underneath you, or do you still feel like you're doing similar things to 15 years ago?
Well, the format keeps changing, but I am comfortable with change. And I think that's one of the things that prepares you for a media career if you want to attempt one, because the landscape is going to shift in large ways while you're doing it. I think certainly in my arc of 20 years, I came out of school and got a job fairly easily as a daily newspaper reporter in a small town in America. That is not a job, unfortunately, that really exists anymore, except on very rare occasions. And I think it's a really good job for journalists to have, because you have to plug yourself into a new community. You have to be a jack of all trades. You have to lay out pages and go to the courthouse and make friends with cops and all of the things. And you don't have that job anymore. And I think that is a problem, because journalists need a way station where they have to do stuff like that instead of going straight from an elite university journalism school, for instance, to an elite newsroom.
Yeah.
You miss a lot of the steps in there. So I mourn that that does not exist anymore. And I think you have to find other ways to be in touch with the audience you're supposed to be covering if you don't get to do that part of it. So that part's obviously changed, and you have to be more proactive about making sure that you know what you're talking about.
In this new media environment landscape, do you think to the consumer that credibility means the same thing that it used to? Or is it now, oh, this person is the loudest, has the most clicks, has the most followers, therefore he or she must be credible?
Yeah, it depends, because I think, yes, there are many things incentivize being louder or more extreme. That's just real. You know, if I were on X ranting more frequently or more crazily in either direction, by the way, I could go left or I could go right, I would get more clicks and I would get more money and I would get more notice. And there's various places I've worked where I knew, you know, if I toe this line, I'll get more opportunities, right? So credibility to me as someone in the industry, and something I think that students need to think about if they go into it, is I had to set up guardrails for myself. And I always thought, well, I'll be very flexible on the way I deliver what I'm producing, but I will not be flexible about my own values and telling the truth and trying to be an honest broker. Now, I'm an honest broker with a point of view, but I make that clear to people as I'm doing it. I do think there's a tendency post 2020 when so many public institutions failed us and were not credible, there is a tendency to assume that every single person is not telling you the truth, and that can become a problem in and of itself if you go all the way to the other end. But I can see that it's a very tough job for people to try to figure out what's real and what's not. That is actually becomes a vocation for anyone who wants to be a civically engaged person and takes up quite a bit of time. And you want to find those people who aren't necessarily extreme, will tell you the truth, will sometimes tell you things you don't want to hear. I think that's an important part of the practice as well, is to proactively test your own priors and have people either in your circle or in your algorithm that are telling you things you're like, that's not in my gut. I'm not agreeing with that, but let me explore it. Right. That makes you a stronger thinker. And you want to look for those media figures who don't, who surprise you, frankly.
Mary Catherine Hamm is with us. Find her on X at MK Hammer. Two podcasts you host, Getting Hammered and Normally. I want to talk about each of them, actually, because they're different. Getting Hammered, Vic Mattis is your co-host for that. How did that come about? What's your goal in Getting Hammered?
Well, speaking of media evolution, Vic Mattis and I have been friends since we were writers at a magazine together at the Weekly Standard. And he's great on mic, and he's also a person who is interested in food and wine and movies and entertainment and books, and he can talk about culture. So I wanted to have a partner doing that job that could do things other than politics, because, you know, I spend a lot of time talking about politics, but I want to sort of mix it up on other things as well. And so we do a news show, but we try to keep it good humored. We try to keep it honest. We try to correct ourselves, and we try to have a good time while we're doing it. I do think there is a market for news that doesn't drive your blood pressure through the roof and is keeping you informed, but is also, I don't know, having a joke or two involved. There is merit in entertaining people through all the chaos and trying to get them up to date. So that's what we attempt to do at Getting Hammered. And, you know, once every couple of months, we do a taste test of cocktails because you got to be true to the name.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Normally, with Carol Markowitz, former Pulliam Fellow and former guest on this program, how long have you two known each other?
Oh, gosh, we've known each other since probably over 20 years. When we first came into the business, we were both bloggers, and we would meet at various meetups and realize, oh, we kind of have the same vibe. And we grew up together because she and I were not married when we met. Now we're both married with several children. And she's of a group of women who I wish lived closer to me, because I would so much love to parent in the same geographical region as these people, because she's so analytical. She's so smart. She has the same approach to parenting as I do, and is a great op-ed writer. If you ever want to read Carol at the New York Post and elsewhere, she's fantastic. And she also is interested in culture and parenting. And so we'll write about those things, or we'll talk about those things as well. We talked about a parent group in D.C. that blew up a couple of weeks ago because the parenting group was not active enough in its anti-ICE activism. And so a large part of the group was like, we got to get out of here and start our own group. to which I said, let never these mom friends find me. I have a different style of mom friend, and one of whom I do normally with.
Mary Catherine Hamm with us, host of Getting Hammered and Normally. You wrote a great book about 10 years ago, a little more than 10 years ago, called End of Discussion. Are you still working to change people's minds, or do you think most of your work now is talking to people who already essentially have the same point of view you do?
I like to attempt to engage other people. I think often if somebody's very, very political, right, and is very entrenched in their views, maybe that's not the person you're going to reach. But, you know, there's a reason I go to college campuses. There's a reason I worked at CNN. I think there's value in trying to give our point of view or my point of view to people who might not otherwise encounter it. And that is because, as I tell college students often, rooms need weirdos in them. You need somebody who disagrees, or else no one's views are tested and everyone gets lazy and everyone assumes that everyone agrees with them. And that's just not the case. And it shouldn't be the case in a pluralistic republic like we have. And so I like to do that. I will say, you know, it can get exhausting if you're not engaged. I think a lot of people think of talking about politics as sort of street preaching. Like, I'm just going to yell my point of view at someone. And then at the end of that interaction, if I didn't get a conversion, then that's not a success. And it's like, let's maybe take it down a notch, right? Like, let's be youth pastors. Let's not be street preachers. And we're making connections with people. And on small things, they're going, all I'm looking to accomplish when I'm talking to someone who disagrees with me is, hey, we might agree a little bit here, and then I'm going to explain to you how we disagree, and perhaps that person will go, huh, I've never thought about it like that before. If you think about it that way, it makes it much lower stakes mm-hmm. and much more human instead of just trying to win someone to your side at every second. I also suggest to college students often to find a good friend or someone you know fairly well who disagrees with you and do a book swap or an essay swap or even just an article, whatever it is, and then agree to talk about it for 20 minutes.
That's Mary Catherine Hamm. Find her on X at MK Hammer. More with her next. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Hi, I'm Tamara Wood, presiding judge of the Shasta County Superior Court. The Superior Court is currently accepting applications from individuals interested in serving on the Shasta County Grand Jury. To apply or to obtain further information, please visit ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
Interested? Please come to our informational meeting with an in-depth question and answer period, Thursday, March 26th at the Reading City Hall Community Room. For info, visit ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
Be part of the solution. Apply today.
At Plumas Bank, we understand business because we've grown alongside you in the communities we call home. We're proud to grow in Reading and excited to welcome Anderson and Red Bluff to the Plumas Bank family. With our new locations, your business gains expanded lending powers, more convenient locations, and more than 40 years of trusted community banking experience. Plumas Bank, building stronger communities. Learn more at plumasbank.com.
Shasta Lake and neighboring friends, the Queen of Dragons has your back with premium products at prices that work for you. As the longest standing dispensary in the area, our local team knows exactly what you need. Our shelves are stocked with the freshest flower in town. From our premium, fresh, and local line to our budget-friendly options featuring Emerald Junkies and Tricana Boys. Don't miss our famous Flower Friday deals. Top quality at unbeatable prices. And for the green thumbs out there, clones are now in store for the growing season. Join our Dragons Reward program and earn points with every purchase. Stop by 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake or call us for delivery at 530-276-9771 or check out our menu at thequeenofdragons.com. The Queen of Dragons, premium offerings, unbeatable value just for you.
Join us for a live jazz concert at Shasta College, March 27th at 7:30 p.m. Enjoy an evening of dynamic rhythms and classic jazz standards. Tickets are $15 general admission, $10 for seniors and wheelchair accessible, $5 for students with ID. For more information, go to shastacollege.edu/artsevents.
What does comfort mean to you? At Alliance Heating and Air, we understand your HVAC system is the most important system in your home, affecting everything from air quality to temperature control. That's why everybody calls us, delivering perfect comfort. Invest in year-round comfort with an Alliance tune-up for just $99. Plus, we offer comprehensive maintenance plans starting at $15.95 per month. Remember, everybody calls us at 22 12 6 42.
Everybody calls us.
Hear ye, good folk. You are cordially invited to the Shasta Renaissance and Fantasy Fair Memorial Day weekend, Saturday, May 23rd from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Sunday, May 24th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Anderson Fairgrounds at 1890 Briggs Street. Watch knights fight for their honor in armored combat. Enjoy lively Celtic and folk music. Feast like royalty and shop hand-crafted treasures from artisans far and wide. Tickets are just $17
$10 for adults, $15 for youth 11 to 17, and kids 10 and under get in free. Get yours now at Eventbrite and skip the lines. The Shasta Renaissance and Fantasy Fair Memorial Day weekend, Saturday, May 23rd from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Sunday, May 24th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Anderson Fairgrounds. Huzzah!
We're back on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram, joined by Mary Catherine Hamm, find her on X at MK Hammer, host of the Getting Hammered and Normally podcasts. Mary Catherine, that book, End of Discussion, co-written with Guy Benson. The subhead was How the Left Makes America Less Free and Less Fun, and the idea of this outrage industry. Noah Rothman over at National Review has an ongoing feature now that he calls The War on Fun, and has written an essay for the magazine about that. I think back to 2024, and I wonder if it was an inflection point on this exact point, meaning people started realizing, wait, you're actively trying to make my life worse in different ways. Lower standard of living, less fun, I have to worry about this, I can't tell a joke. Can I laugh at that joke? All of these policies and prescriptions are making my life worse.
Yeah, I think people felt that. I think there was a period of time between 2020 and 23, especially, when people were being told things that were sort of obviously absurd, mm-hmm. like that two-year-olds should be wrestled into masks for an entire school day, or that seven-year-olds should be on Zoom for an entire school day and that would be okay for them, or that boys can be girls and girls can be boys. And criminals should all be let out, and that will make actually everyone safer. I mean, it's just they were patently absurd things that you were being told, but you were also being told, if you think these absurd things are absurd, or you try to argue against them at all, there's something wrong with you. Mm-hmm. You should be an outcast in society, and that was the part that really got people, and sort of the enforced speech, like silence is violence, which is why, by the way, that. It's hard to find a candidate who didn't say all these things, yes. because they told them silence is violence. So yeah, I think there was a revolt against that was quite delayed. I thought after 2020 that the comeuppance would come quickly, and it didn't. It took a couple years for people to metabolize and go, wait a second, what are we doing here? And I'm still surprised how far it got. But Donald Trump ended up being the backlash. Once again, it sort of embodied in a person. Mm-hmm. And I do think there were cultural gains from that, of a bunch of people realizing, oh, I guess we can't do this 2020 thing anymore.
Are you encouraged by anything in particular that you see happening in the media today? We've talked here in the department about the Washington Post or the op-ed page shifting its strategy and shifting its vision and mission. Of course, Barry Weiss at CBS is trying new things. Are you encouraged by maybe a few things out in the media landscape?
Yeah, I think first of all, I don't have rose-colored glasses about the old days with three networks and three major newspapers would tell you everything. I think that was a bad way of doing things, and it was biased then. The fractured nature of media makes it harder to figure out what's going on sometimes, but you also have access to, oh, I don't know, the entirety of a speech that mm-hmm. would have been translated through the AP in the past, right? So you can go listen to that, and you have to make yourself do those things sometimes. But I do like the whole heterodox crew that was put together by Barry Weiss at the Free Press. I love, like, the David Zweigs of the world who reported on masks and actually sort of fought his way into some mainstream coverage of that and got that news out. People who are of the left but criticize the left's sort of moral outrages or trends. Jesse Singel is another one who, look, I'm not going to agree with him on like probably 60% of issues, but when he's reporting responsibly on gender transition and science and how this is being done in hospitals and in schools or as public policy, I want to listen to that. So I think that whole crew being given platforms and having been successful, whether they're center, right, or left, makes me happy. And I think those are people who have earned some trust, particularly if you see it on the right or the left, someone who goes after their own side and takes some slings and arrows from that side, mm-hmm. not on everything, because there are some people who go after their own side as a profession.
Uh-huh.
but I think when someone's taken slings and arrows in that way, they can be more trustworthy because, you know, they're standing up for something.
There are discussions and conversations and in some places actually laws that have been passed by politicians to address the decline in journalism. So via tax credits or we'll help you hire someone where there's actual, you know, money flowing from the government into the world of journalism. Does journalism need saving in that way?
The problem is that journalism is populated by a bunch of people who don't understand how free markets work and don't like free markets. So that's part of it. I think a lot of the economic incentives, unfortunately, are bad and don't align with creating necessarily good journalism. Because if you're doing fan service and base service, you're not necessarily creating good journalism. That's why I think, you know, Barry Weiss has ended up at somewhere like CBS and gotten the nod is because she creates things that are clickable but not crazy. And that is the sort of sweet spot. I think the Bezos Washington Post went too far in the fan service of the left during Trump 1 and then didn't know what to do with itself afterwards. So you have to find some sort of sustainable model. I don't think getting government money is the sustainable model. I know that our friends on the left believe that government money is, you know, inexhaustible and lasts forever, but that's not actually how that works. If you look at NPR, for instance, and Corporation for Public Broadcasting at the moment, they are learning, oh, maybe we should have made our own way, right? Now, how you make your own way is pretty tricky because it's hard to get people to pay for news. What you have to get them to pay for instead is recipes and games, which is what the New York Times has done and actually is a return to the old style of newspaper. Because when you picked up a newspaper in the past, you were buying a package to which news was attached.
Sure.
But you were probably there for the comics and the classifieds and the circular with the grocery coupons in it. And so there have to be these packages that can go together that create something that is at least medium sustainable. And actually, some of journalism is going to be a charity project by rich people. And some of that's okay, too. Or donors. Donors sustained.
You've been with our students in the class for about a week. What have you learned from them so far?
So we've been talking a bit about media literacy and how you think through these things because, you know, in coming into teaching a class, I thought, you know, maybe what to do is think about when I'm overwhelmed, what is the way that I sort through information? Because I think that moving forward for anyone who wants to be engaged, that's going to be the question is how do I decide what is important? And how do I filter through what is trustworthy and what is not? So I've been talking to them about how they consume news. And the thing I've learned about people younger than I am, and particularly college students and a little bit older, is that a lot of their news consumption is incidental and they need to make it intentional if they want to keep doing this. And I get it. Some of my stuff is incidental, too. My algorithm gets filled with hockey when I get mad about the hockey story and click on a bunch of hockey things, right? So you have to be aware of that, and you have to learn how to correct for it. And it takes energy. But I think that's the main thing is, like, we all are in a world in which the algorithm wants to push us into passive consumption, and you have to make it active.
Yeah. Mary Catherine Hamm, find her on X at MK Hammer. She's the host of Getting Hammered, the podcast, and Normally, the podcast with Carol Markowitz. Find her writing in various places as well. And we thank her for being here on campus, our Pulliam Fellow for this term. She's giving a public lecture and also teaching many of our journalism students these couple of weeks. Mary Catherine Hamm, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thank you so much. It's a blast to be here with these promising students. They really are great.
Up next, we talk with Dr. Benjamin Beyer, Chairman and Associate Professor of Education here at Hillsdale College, and your teacher for the new online course, Classical Logic and Rhetoric. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Open now at Turtle Bay Museum, Thomas T. Mangelson, A Life in the Wild, featuring 40 of the legendary wildlife photographer's most powerful images captured in the wild. These iconic once-in-a-lifetime moments include polar bears dancing on Arctic ice, a salmon leaping straight into the jaws of a massive brown bear, landscapes from all seven continents, and much more. The A Life in the Wild tour is produced by David J. Wagner, LLC, and is on display at Turtle Bay Museum now through May 3rd. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life. Warm up with our made-from-scratch soups and signature family sauces, crafted from cherished recipes passed down through generations. Watch the magic happen when we hand-toss every pizza to order, then bake it to perfection. Crispy, cheesy, and made with love. Let the little ones explore our brand-new adventure room with bounce houses, arcade games, and even a make-your-own pizza table where the kids can make their own pizza. Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life.
Mandina's Cabinets, the local pros.
Mandina's Cabinets in Anderson designs custom kitchens, bathrooms, and offices that no big box store can match. They are the local pros who know.
Mandina's Cabinets, the local pros who know. Mandina's Cabinets, the local pros.
530-365-8108 or visit mandinascabinets.com.
Join me, Mark Levin, weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. KCNR, your talk radio.
Donald Trump is doing something that's never been done in American history. Now, what Trump is trying to do all at once, he wants to, what I call, reindustrialize America.
Mark Levin is on the radio.
KCNR, your talk radio.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Planning a wedding? Celebrate the moment with a free dinner for two at Odell Craft Barbecue. With our slow-smoked brisket that melts in your mouth, even Texans say it's some of the best they've ever had. We cater events and weddings of all sizes, from intimate gatherings to receptions of 1,000 guests. We make delicious food and great service, so you can stay present with the people who matter. Odell Craft Barbecue, real wood, real fire, real flavor. Book your free tasting at ReddingBarbecue.com. Again, book your free tasting at ReddingBarbecue.com.
On May 25th, 1888, the South End Grounds in Boston opened. This park featured a two-tiered baseball park as well as a cathedral-like grandstand. These were two unique features for that day, and even for today. Attendance numbers at early ball games varied, but one 1897 game between Boston and Baltimore recorded a crowd of over 25,000 people, something that would not have been possible without a formal stadium. This has been the Old Ball Game on Radio Free Hillsdale 101.7 FM.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. Be sure to check us out on X at Hillsdale Radio. We're also at HC Podcasts for the Hillsdale College Podcast Network. We're joined by Dr. Ben Beyer. He is Chairman and Associate Professor of Education here at Hillsdale College. Also, your teacher for the brand new online course, Classical Logic and Rhetoric. You can find it at hillsdale.edu/new. course. Dr. Beyer, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Good to talk to you once again. Also, under contract, we should point out, for a textbook on the subject, Logic with Classical Academic Press. Now, here at Hillsdale College, every student is required to take Logic and Rhetoric. Why is that course considered so essential, not just academically, but of course to being fully human?
Oh, thanks, Scott. It's great to be with you. I think that logic and rhetoric is important to being fully human because all of us use words. We're all ever, debating about right and wrong in the assembly, as Aristotle would have it. It's just in our nature. But we need to study these things because while we naturally move the tongue, use words, we have to become who we are, as Pindar put it, that we have a potential to use these things well, but we have to grow into it.
Now, when people hear logic, they might imagine complicated symbols, abstract philosophy. What's logic really, and how do we use it already in our everyday life?
Yes, so we use logic constantly. Anytime you use the word because, you're giving a reason why. And one of the ways in the course that I talk about logic is it's the art and science of giving reasons. So logic is a little bit like the slow motion replay that you slow down and put in the freeze frame and see what is the reason being offered and is it sufficient evidence? And then hopefully having watched the game film, you can go out and be more logical the next time around.
You talk in the course about slowing down, examining how we think, the acts of apprehension and judgment and reasoning. Why is that slowing down, that instant replay, as you point out, so important in our fast-moving culture?
I think there's a growing consensus among thoughtful people. I think there's also a growing body of scientific evidence that we're distracted, we're harried, we're lonely, we're unhappy. And so I think that we've got to find ways to unplug. I think, you know, some of us have this experience when the lights go out. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, you know, we have nothing to do but play a board game or gather around the wood-burning stove. And there's something very human about slowing down. And so I hope that the study of logic can not only make us thoughtful out in that harried world, but help us gain an ability to rest, to be, to think, not just always ever be doing, doing, doing.
There's an aspect of that in which we forget what it was like until lights go out, which happens, you know, somewhat frequently here in Hillsdale. We're in the middle of a whole bunch of nothing around here. But you do, you forget, oh, if I flip that switch, actually nothing will happen. I'm so used to something happening. And there are board games, books, ways that you then direct your attention immediately, these things that I had not considered in months, perhaps, that are available to me.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so. And so there's so many good things that maybe we've lost track of, you know, gathering around the piano or grabbing a book. And ultimately, I think, you know, this kind of space helps us really reconnect with ourself, mm-hmm. with others, and even with the other, with the divine.
Dr. Ben Beyer with us. He's chairman and associate professor of education here at Hillsdale College, teacher for the new Hillsdale online course, Classical Logic and Rhetoric. Find it at hillsdale.edu/new course, hillsdale.edu/new course. One of the key distinctions that you make is between validity and soundness in arguments. It kind of sounds the same to me. Explain that difference in simple terms, why it matters in our debates and social medias and even family conversations.
Yeah, great question. So Aristotle discovers that in categorical syllogisms, you can disentangle form and matter so that we'll take two arguments. Every dog is a cat. Every tree is a dog. Therefore, every tree is a cat. On the other hand, every tree is living. Every oak is a tree. Therefore, every oak is living. So actually, underneath those words, underneath that content is the same form.
Mm-hmm.
And so in form, that is in validity, the conclusion follows necessarily in both of those arguments. But the first is absurd, right? The first is valid but false.
Uh-huh.
The second is valid and true. So if it's valid and true, it's sound. So some people make arguments that aren't even valid, and so it's good to be able to discover whether it's valid in that form and that structure or underpinning. But then I think where it can get really interesting is where you've got competing valid arguments, mm-hmm. that force you then into a consideration of soundness. You know, are the premises, are the reasons why here true or not true? And that really can then, I think, open up dialogue and debate and hopefully understanding in the pursuit of the truth.
We're constantly being persuaded or attempted to be persuaded by advertisements, by news and entertainment, politicians, social media posts. How does studying logic, perhaps in this course, and rhetoric change the way that someone listens to and can evaluate those messages?
Yeah, we are just inundated with messages from so many different people and places and things. And so I think that having a background in logic and rhetoric really can make one thoughtful, that you have the advertisement on TV and it's telling you buy this because, right, giving a reason why, because it will make you happy. Mm-hmm. And then you can, well, that could be put into a valid form, but will this really make me happy or not? So we can be thoughtful in sort of uncovering the arguments that are everywhere. And then also, you know, another thing that will happen is we'll often have our emotions stirred, and we talk in the course about how that's not inherently bad, mm-hmm. but we sometimes, you know, a politician or an advertisement, right, stirs up our emotions to cloud our judgment. And so to just feel yourself being stirred, you can become aware, sort of, okay, someone's stirring me here, but now is my judgment being sharpened by the emotion I'm feeling, or instead is my judgment being clouded? And so we can become really able to thoughtfully receive and respond to these constant discourses that are surrounding us and addressed to us.
I talk to my students about their use of social media, especially because we have so many journalism students who are like, how do you get your news? Well, I like to look at my social media feeds, and people are putting news in there. And I talk often about that need to verify, to use your logic to know whether this is true or false. But developing that sense that I can trust this person, or I can trust this information, or that doesn't look right, I really got to go and I got to find a different source, I got to make sure that's true. Is that a skill that can be developed? Is that something that is tied into this discussion about logic?
Oh, I think that's a great question. And I think that logic and rhetoric really can help us here, because rhetoric is so attentive to matters of ethos, that the person writing, the person speaking, is always expressing his or her character. And we're always either thinking, okay, this is a trustworthy person or not. But of course, people can falsely present their mm-hmm. character. They can present who they're not. So if you know how ethos works, if you know that someone is trying to indirectly present intelligence or good morals, then you can push on that and say, is this person intelligent? You know, is this person thoughtful? Is this person virtuous? So that rhetoric helps you receive information from unknown sources more mm-hmm. thoughtfully, and hopefully maybe even encourages you to break out of your feed.
Yeah.
And be a little bit more willing to leave the echo chamber and find many different sources that you can thoughtfully sift.
We'll continue in a moment with Dr. Ben Beyer from Hillsdale's Education Department. Classical Logic and Rhetoric is the new Hillsdale College online course. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
I'd like to thank everyone for coming out tonight to the annual Reading Rancheria Community Fund Dinner. Since its start, the Reading Rancheria Community Fund has granted over $4.6 million in support of our community. This year, we celebrated the amazing organizations that we've been able to help, with a special surprise bonus award of $10,000 being given out. It is with your help that we will be able to continue the amazing cycle of giving. The annual Reading Rancheria Community Fund Wicked Dinner was brought to you by this station and other proud sponsors.
Premier Oil Change is celebrating 20 years of our friendly oil changes. A lot has changed in 20 years, but our commitment to fast, friendly, excellent service has remained the same. To celebrate our 20th birthday, we're offering $20 off any oil change. All you have to do is go to our website at premieroilchange.com and receive your gift. In Reading, check out our new location at 905 East Cypress. Discount also available at our Lake Boulevard, Anderson, and Palo Cedro locations.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Spring is almost here, so wake up that garden and get growing with Grange Co-op's Spring Roundup Sale, happening now through March 29th. Jump on big-time savings. Buy two, get one free blueberries, 20% off vegetable jumbo packs, and score three free chicks per family when you buy a 40 or 50-pound bag of Rogue poultry feed. From fresh blooms to happy pets, Grange Co-op has everything you need to kick off the season right. Swing by Grange Co-op at 55 Lake Boulevard in Reading, or shop online at GrangeCoop.com.
Imagine walking into your home and instantly feeling relaxed because the colors are fresh, clean, and exactly your style. That's what Eagle Eye Painting does for homeowners every day. Careful prep, protecting your furniture and floors, and a smooth, beautiful finish you'll be proud to show off. We're local, licensed, bonded, insured, and we're happy to help you in English or Spanish. Ready to fall in love with your home again? Call Eagle Eye Painting today at 530-410-1317 for a free, friendly estimate. That's 530-410-1317 or visit 530painter.com.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Oliva Melano Maduro. From the verdant fields of Jalapa, Nicaragua, comes an epic 95-rated cigar, wrapped in a Maduro leaf from San Andres. Expect notes of espresso, anise, and walnut liqueur. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
I'd like to thank everyone for coming out tonight to the annual Redding Rancheria Community Fund Dinner. Since its start, the Redding Rancheria Community Fund has granted over $4.6 million in support of our community. This year, we celebrated the amazing organizations that we've been able to help with a special surprise bonus award of $10,000 being given out. It is with your help that we will be able to continue the amazing cycle of giving. The annual Redding Rancheria Community Fund Wicked Dinner was brought to you by this station and other proud sponsors.
We're back on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. We continue with Dr. Benjamin Beyer. He's your teacher for the new Hillsdale College online course, Classical Logic and Rhetoric. Find it at hillsdale.edu/new course. Dr. Beyer, we shift over to rhetoric, the art of persuasion. Why isn't it enough just to have a true argument? Why does it matter so much the way we present that argument?
This is a question that thinkers and practitioners have been trying to wrestle with for a long time. There's a pre-Socratic philosopher. So Socrates dies in 399 BC, but someone who precedes him talks about the fist of logic and the palm of rhetoric. And so logic proceeds with fist-like precision.
Mm-hmm. You know,
it's valid or it's invalid. There's not much gray area there. But then that's sort of done in the abstract, not in a manner that's addressed to a person. But once it becomes interpersonal, most people don't like to be pummeled with a fist. Most people like to be, you know, respected in their dignity. So that we need to open that fist, not leaving logic behind, but taking those logical goods and with finesse actually stand towards others in their dignity, in their humanity. And so rhetoric is able to give us that additional component that we're not just considering the true or false in the abstract, but we're actually living in community with others and trying to talk to one another.
So when I talk to my students about rhetoric, I try to give a little thumbnail idea. So you tell me if this is good or bad, or I need to improve myself. Look, when we talk rhetoric, we want to teach you, want to help you how to think about things, how to construct your arguments, how to construct your thoughts, how to be persuasive. And then I always say how to be compelling. And I mean that in both ways or two ways. Compelling meaning the person listening to you wants to listen to you, feels compelled to continue listening to you, but also perhaps they're convinced to do something, to change their behavior or change or adjust their way of thinking.
I think that's great.
Outstanding.
The tradition of rhetoric oftentimes involves thinking about these different canons of discovering arguments, ordering them, stylizing them, and much thought is given to some of these very matters that you're talking about, that you've got to do something in your conclusion, thinking about the way you order what you do to really get people, you know, up out of their seat, compelled to go act, And that might be a time, right, having laid down more logical arguments earlier now to stir an emotion, mm-hmm. because it's one thing to have somebody just nod the head in agreement, but then to actually go do something, that's a much bigger ask.
Yeah, yeah. In this course, you walk through five classical canons of rhetoric. So invention, arrangement, style, memory, and of course, delivery. Do you think that there's one of those in particular that some of our modern communicators are neglecting?
Ooh, I think that memes may neglect almost all of them. But I suppose if one stands out, it would be memory. There's just in spoken rhetoric, and rhetoric can be written or spoken, but in spoken rhetoric, there's no longer an audience expectation mm-hmm. that someone memorize. It's the age of the teleprompter.
I've seen not just like wedding speeches, but I have now seen professional speakers holding cell phone in front of their face as they deliver a lecture, deliver a speech. Ridiculous.
And I think this really invites someone who aspires to be a good rhetorician to sort of, this is a low-hanging fruit, right? You can really distinguish yourself from everybody else. If everyone's going one way, then it stands out if you actually do deliver from memory. To take just a small example, I was introducing a new colleague at a little beginning of the year get-together, and I didn't have notes, and I said the person received his PhD from here and had published this book and just listed off three or four things that the person had done and asked everyone at the reception to welcome him. And someone came up to me afterwards. I was so struck that you didn't speak with notes. So I think it really can be compelling to an audience when there's no expectation that you operate from memory if you're able to do so well.
Dr. Ben Beyer with us, your teacher for classical logic and rhetoric, hillsdale.edu/new course. Inside, you draw in figures, historical figures, Aristotle, Cicero, Lincoln, Churchill, Martin Luther King Jr. What do our greatest speakers in history, what do they all understand about persuasion?
That's a great question. I think that, you know, each of the people you named has a profound understanding of the human being and a deep grasp of language and a firm hold on some subject matter. So Plato's Socrates would say that the rhetorician has knowledge of the thing spoken about, knowledge of souls, knowledge of the audience, and then the ability to be a guide to bridge the gap, to actually take that which you know over to the audience with knowledge of their subjective disposition. And so there's a certain kind of way in which one has to know a subject and be a psychologist and be a guide to do things well. And Dr. King and Churchill just jump out in the list that you provided. King is able to connect with listeners to inspire them to do a difficult thing, mm-hmm. right? To nonviolently love and stand against segregation. And Churchill is able to really, within, you know, a hard time thinking about the Second World War, he uses punchy little short words with an awareness that that's just the thing to inspire courage and resolve in a difficult moment. So that, but each of those, Reverend King and Churchill just had this ability to take the thing they knew and size up the audience and find just the right verbal resources. Mm-hmm.
For our listeners who don't see themselves as debaters, don't see themselves in the public square, they're not speaking all the time, how might this course still improve their everyday life?
I may be at risk of repeating some of the things I said when we got started, but logic and rhetoric are traditionally considered liberal arts, part of the arts of the trivium, the arts of language, and we're all language users. So to study logic and rhetoric is to become a better user of language and a more thoughtful receiver of language. And even if you're just addressing yourself or addressing someone one-on-one, you know, not in a debate, not in a public speaking scenario, to study these things is going to make you better, is going to give you greater facility. But that's leaning into the usefulness that you'll communicate better one-on-one, you'll be clearer. But liberal arts are also liberal. They're also useless or good for their own sake. And so it's not just, you know, it's going to help you as an employee or at the town hall or whatever the case might be. It's additionally, or maybe even primarily, actualizing this unique potential in us. We're becoming more human when we study these things, even if we never go out and use them.
So how do you hope people receive your rhetoric in the course, Classical Logic and Rhetoric? What do you hope to compel them to do?
Well, I hope that those who complete the course will learn about making arguments, making definitions, and taking all of that and really giving it as a gift to another, really communicating to an audience. And of course, it's something that when one studies it, not only does he or she become better at these things, him or herself, it's also been the case that one's able to thoughtfully receive and weigh the definitions, the arguments, the persuasions of others. And as we've noted repeatedly in this conversation, we're just flooded with such arguments today. So I think it's an occasion to really strengthen oneself, to receive thoughtfully what others give, and to better give yourself.
Dr. Ben Beyer, Chairman and Associate Professor of Education here at Hillsdale College, also your teacher for the new online course, Classical Logic and Rhetoric. You can find that at hillsdale.edu/new-course, and writing a textbook on logic, forthcoming from Classical Academic Press. Dr. Ben Beyer, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thank you, Scott.
That will wrap up this edition of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Our thanks to Mary Catherine Hamm and Dr. Benjamin Beyer. Remember, you can hear new episodes every week on this station. You also can find extended versions of some of our interviews or listen anytime to the podcast. Find it at podcast.hillsdale.edu or wherever you get your audio. Until next week, I'm Scott Bertram, and this has been the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
KCNR has teamed up with Michelle Slade from My Umbrella Marketing to give you a chance to win tickets to the Red Bluff Roundup. The drawing is at 8 a.m. on Friday, April 10th. For your chance to qualify, all you have to do is listen for this.
Hit 'em up, move 'em on, hit 'em up, rawhide. Cut 'em out, ride 'em in, cut 'em out, ride 'em in, raw.
Then call 530-605-4566 or 530-605-4567 for your chance to qualify to win two tickets to the Red Bluff Roundup. The drawing is at 8 a.m. on Friday, April 10th, courtesy of Michelle Slade from My Umbrella Marketing and your friends here at KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
The only real estate agent I trust right here in Redding and Shasta County is Josh Barker with Josh Barker Real Estate. Now, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
Now, for someone that needs to move quickly or something like a job transfer, well, what steps can you take to make sure that their home gets sold fast and for the most money?
Sean, that is an excellent question. We actually have three ways that we'll approach that. One is we actually as an office have what's called an instant offer. So if you need it sold fast, we can do it really fast. But the truth is if you want to maximize your selling price and get done quickly, then it actually means that you're going to want to sit down, identify a marketing plan, talk about what to do to prep your home for sale, and then be really clear on two things, your time frame and the price, because those two things merging together is ultimately going to equal your outcome. So having that kind of conversation in advance will go a long ways.
All right. Thanks for keeping us up to date. Go online to ReddingHomes.com or just Google Josh Barker.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
The Shasta College Art Gallery presents a Japanese woodblock print exhibition featuring works from the traditional ukiyo-e period to contemporary artists. Explore beautifully crafted prints with many pieces available for purchase to support Shasta College Student Show Awards. Join us for the closing reception on April 16th at noon in Building 300 during Shasta College Cultural Day. The gallery is open Monday through Thursday 8 to 5 and Fridays 8 to noon. More information can be found at shastacollege.edu/events.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.